I think that's on. Yeah, you bet. Good morning. Welcome to Clear Lake Christian Church. Everybody have a seat. A few announcements to start with. There's a congregational meeting May 31st with a potluck. Most of this stuff is in your bulletin, but there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board for the Feed My Starving Children event, and that should be in your bulletin too. And we really need some help on the Meals on Wheels, because I last looked at that sheet and there's only a couple names up there. So if you are willing to help out with the Meals on Wheels, we need some people for that. And I have my own sign-up sheet out there that's almost full for the camp out, but there's a few slots left. Make sure that if your name is out there, you've got a number that's not just a number that has your name associated with it, but it's a number I can call you at, because the people who are signed up for the camp out, I'm going to be calling a few days ahead to verify the weather and the timing of things and to see who's bringing what, because we'll need people that are going to bring part of the meal for breakfast and lunch. So you'll get more on that for whoever signed up. And that's third week of June. We'll be going over on a Friday and staying overnight, and then floating the river Saturday morning and probably eating lunch somewhere on the river. Also, I don't want to forget to thank everybody who participated in the Cattle Creek Workday. I called some people to say don't come because it was supposed to be rainy, stormy, cold, miserable. It actually was not too bad a day. It didn't rain on us, and we got a tremendous amount done. I was very pleased with what was accomplished that day. And I hope some of you get to get over there to enjoy the river and to camp with us. I want to start out with a scripture reading from 1 Peter 1 and 2. It's just sort of an introduction, but it says some important things. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. A couple of points in that salutation is our righteousness is from Him, from Jesus. Our faith is from Him, and it is a precious gift that we are given that we may enjoy grace and peace in abundance through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we gather together to worship You. You know our hearts. Please soften those hearts. Your righteousness, not our works. Your grace, not our pride. Your peace, not our striving. And through You, we receive faith and knowledge so that we may have grace and peace in abundance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I invite you to stand and sing with us. There is power in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but sometimes I know I need to pray and I have no words to say. And I would just suggest to you, if that happens to you, just say the name of Jesus and He will know what's on your heart. And he will read what's inside you. The Holy Spirit will pray for you. And as we sing this song, when we get to those words, just have them imprinted on your heart and in your brain that there is power in the name of Jesus.
Savior, who is worthy, You are worthy.
Time in our service for the children's moment. So, children, we invite you to come forward and find a place up here to be seated.
Morning.
Morning.
Everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to talk today about Legos. How many of you have worked with Legos? What kinds of things did you build? Right?
Skyscrapers.
Say it again?
Skyscrapers.
Skyscrapers. What else? Come on.
Cars.
Cars?
Houses.
What do you build?
Houses.
Houses?
Spaceships.
What?
Spaceships.
I mean, any of you ever been up to Legoland, up at the mall?
Legoland.
Yeah. You know, there's no end to the things that you can build. And so I picked the Lego out of some that Doug has. And we're going to see what it will make. Maybe it needs to be over here. Doesn't seem to be the right spot. You think I can make something there? Well, what's the matter? You say that Legos can do all of these things, spaceships and skyscrapers and houses, and why isn't it doing it? You've got to put them together. Oh. So if I gave all of you Legos, we could build something right here. Suppose we could get everybody in the congregation to come up and help us. No? So how do you know? How do you know what you're going to build?
I don't have the foggiest idea.
You know, if you build a, did you do your skyscraper just out of here? Or did you have a pattern? You know, because in Nagy's stuff, we got all kinds of books. And it shows you how to make different monsters. Okay. So, we need a lot of stuff. And we need the way to go. And you know what? Church is not a whole lot different from that. We've got instructions. We have them here. God tells us how to do church. And as we come to church, and each one does, whoops, excuse me, dog, does his own thing, You know, and we don't all do church alike. Even though the book is here, and yet it takes you and 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 all those people out there to make this church family. And I want to read what it says in Romans. We've heard a lot of Romans lately, but this one says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. So, you know, the book tells us, love one another. But things happen. Things happen in church. Things happen when you're building together. And we each have our strength. And we each have to do what we can do. Not everybody was made to be a piano player. Not everybody was made to be a pastor or a teacher. Sometimes it's those people that run the brooms, wash the dishes, do the calling. Those are the things that pull us together as church. And we need every one of us to be a part of this place that we call church. Let's pray. Precious Lord, help us. You've blessed each one of us with a gift. Sometimes more than one gift. And it's important that if we are to be your church, that we would take that gift or those gifts and use them to become a church united. If we look for a new pastor, Lord, help us know that we each are important in our own way, and that together we become a church. We love you. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jane. As the kids return to their seats, let's stand and reach out to those around us and greet them. Find out who's with us today. Sovereign in the mountain air, sovereign on the ocean floor, with me in the calm, with me in the storm. Sovereign in my greatest joy, sovereign in my deepest cry, with me in the dark, with me at the dawn. In your arms, all the pieces of my life, from beginning to the end, I can trust you. In your never failing love, you work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way,
trust you. Sovereign in the mountain air, sovereign on the ocean floor, with me in the calm, with me in the storm. Sovereign in my greatest joy, sovereign in my deepest cry, with me in the dark, with me at the dawn. In your everlasting arms, all the pieces of my life, from beginning to the end, I can trust you. In your never failing love, you work everything for good. Whatever comes my way, I will trust you. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. All my hopes, all I need, held in your hands. All my life, all of me, held in your hands. All my fears, all my dreams, held in your hands. All my hopes, all I need, held in your hands. All my life, all of me, held in your hands. All my fears, all my dreams, held in your hands. Of my life, from beginning to the end, I can trust you. In your never failing love, you work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. Whatever comes my way, I will trust you.
He loves me, he loves me.
can it be? He loves me. He is for me. He holds the stars and he holds my heart with healing hands that bear the scars. The rugged cross where he died for me, my only hope, my everything. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me.
Well, as you've probably noticed, Scott and Robin aren't here today, so you get me, yay, and I'm excited, and I'm sweating, and I'm pumped up, and it's been a real journey for me this week. So as we go to prayer, I'd like you to keep Scott and Robin in your hearts as they present their mission to another church that has already offered to support them, but that one of that decision had been made by their mission team, and they wanted their entire church to hear their message. So that's where Scott and Robin are today, and we hope and pray that that goes well for them. And for our graduates today, and for those parties that continue to happen about and surrounding around this process of graduating high school, MJ's is this afternoon, and I looked at that invitation to his party out there of him, you know, when one picture with a soccer ball in his hand and another one kicking that extra point for our football team. And what an amazing testimony he is for God-given talent. And so I hope we all take that advantage to go to see MJ this afternoon and to offer our support. And he will be on our prayer list, as will all our graduates, as we move forward. So if we could, and would you please pray with me? Let us pray. Almighty Father, what an amazing opportunity you lay before us today. We know that as we come into each day that nothing is guaranteed to us, nothing is promised to us except our eternal salvation through our faith in your Son. And the weight of that promise is carried by Jesus and Jesus alone. We know that you are with our graduates as they prepare for this last event of their school at this level before they go on to college and do those things that they will do as adults. We pray your blessings over the graduation ceremony today, that it would be meaningful for these young ones that are stepping out into society, and for their parents who will be both proud and sad and excited and relying on your strength in the lives of their children. We ask that you would shower your blessings upon Scott and Robin today as they go before another church and present their vision of what your plan is for them as they go to West Africa. I thank you for your activity in my life and the things that you've shown me this week as I've prepared for this message. We ask that as we prepare to take our offering this morning, that these monies will be used to further the knowledge of your kingdom throughout the world and that you would guide our hands and our thoughts as we make the decisions on where this money will be used for your work. We pray for those that can't be with us this morning, that whatever kept them away, that they are safe and that they are secure in the knowledge of you. And we pray for the lost. We know that as we go out, as we carry your word to those that we encounter on a daily basis, that it is only you that can change their heart. It is only the work of the Holy Spirit that can open that heart up to your message. And we just pray that as we try to present this message to the world, that we would just get out of your way and let you work, Father. We pray all these things in the name and the strength, the only strength that we have, the strength of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that what we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of. All our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, the Lord of all.
Well, good morning again. It's amazing how sweaty a guy can get and still the throat be dry, so apologize for that. You know, I'm sure that some of you were hit, like I was last week, with the realization of how quickly Scott and Robin will be gone, and how it had seemed to just happen all of a sudden. It snuck up on me. Well, this presents us with some challenges and, I believe, some opportunities. And I'll come right out and say it. If you come here every Sunday because Scott fills the pulpit, I hope that this is an opportunity for you to take a look at the motivation for coming to church. And that it should be centered on someone so far removed from the human body that fills this pulpit. And that as we move forward, we really need to keep our concentration and our decisions centered on Jesus. And God has a man out there that's going to come and fill this pulpit and carry this church forward and shepherd us. And we're not replacing Scott. We are looking for a new shepherd. And as a member of the search committee, it's been a journey that has taken me into searching out what seminaries teach. And in that search, I've encountered an amazing Bible instructor by the name of Dr. Mark Bailey. In his introduction to Bible study methods, he brings forward some ideas that, if we could show his quote, I'm not going to quote him, but his meaning is that most of us come into church with a handle of what the Bible tells us, and that can be both good and bad. His admonishment to us is that to take a look at Scripture fresh each and every day. That's part of what I'm going to try to do today. You know, when Scott carries a message to us, he considers every word grammatically, contextually, and in more than one language. And I can't do that. So we're going to take a look at the way the results of the Bible study that I do, and hopefully it will maybe encourage you that there are some secrets out there that God has placed there for us, just simply for us to mine out and to search out. I will be talking about some questions that I have. I have some questions about eternity. I want to know what it's like. I want to know what my body is going to be like and what it can do. And I want to know if we'll know the people that we see, just, you know, even if we haven't met them before. I know Dave's got at least one guy he wants to look up when he gets there. I want to know if Gertrude Larson is going to be standing at the gates waiting for us, you know? I wonder at times what God's book of life looks like. I think that he may have given us a glimpse, and I would like to take a look today at the last chapter of Romans. I believe that that this is one of those chapters that we maybe have read before, but because it's a list of names, it's real easy to gloss over. And I just think that, you know, most of us are familiar with the champions of the faith. We study guys like Daniel and Abraham and Noah and, you know, Paul and Peter and as you may know about me, it's those lesser known characters that stick out to me. Because you see, even though they're there for just a short amount of time, they're in Scripture. And that tells me there's something important that we can learn from them. You know, I learned early in my Marine Corps career that not everybody is a natural born leader. I also learned that some of those really good leaders that developed because they were good followers. And in this world, during a time when many of us are striving to be a Daniel, for many of us that consider ourselves not to be natural born leaders, I think we should be comforted that there are plenty of opportunities for us to honor God if we would only dare to be a Rufus. Some of my favorite examples of this type of idea are some of the stories that we find in the book of Daniel, where the stories are about his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I remember a long time ago when I first started studying the book of Daniel, and when I got to this story about this decree that went out that when the music was played, the entire kingdom would stop what they were doing and they would bow to this golden image, and that you either bowed or you were thrown into an open furnace. And that as I went through this study here in the church, somebody said, "Where's Daniel?" And it didn't hit me at first. Somebody else had noticed that Daniel wasn't there, but you see that the emphasis, the pattern that he had put before his friends carried them through when push came to shove. They knew how to react. And look, even in the story of Daniel, there's only one Daniel. There's a lot of other people in that story. And so I'd like to tie that in with our current situation. I know some of us are worried about the departure of our pastor, as well as the task before us of finding a new shepherd. I'm finding reassurance in the reading of Scripture. Scripture tells us that Jesus commissioned us to go out. The book of Acts shows us a picture of a church in Jerusalem that shows them sending missionaries out to plant churches in the seed of the gospel, to nurture those congregations and leaders, and to report back to them, to those who would support them with finances and prayer, to those who would keep the home church alive as a base of support. The things that Scott has been teaching us these last 8 years, they have been for our eternal profit. Those things don't go away when Scott leaves. Those things we can hang on to. Those things we can keep. Paul's letter to the Romans is a letter rich in instruction that helps many of us gain a better understanding of our walk. There are many familiar passages, and many of us use the verses of Romans when walking someone through the salvation process, the Roman road. I invite you to join me in the closing chapter of Romans, that's chapter 16. And as we're getting settled in, I'd ask those of you that have smartphones or you know, different pieces of equipment that'll let you search the Bible, if you would pull those out and make them available, because I'm going to ask your help on one or two searches here as we go. But for now, please turn with me to the book of Romans, the last chapter. And as you glance through the beginning of that chapter, you'll see that Paul is writing a closing to his letter. We see a list of greetings to a number of people, some names we recognize, and we may even know a little about. If you look at verse 3, you'll see, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house." Priscilla and Aquila, I've seen those names before. And because we've seen their names elsewhere in Scripture, we know there's more that we can know about them. For example, the beginning of chapter 18 of Acts tells us they were from Italy, and they were tent makers like Paul, that they traveled Asia with Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 tells us a little bit about the church that they had in their home. 1 and 2 Timothy tells us they spent time with Timothy at Ephesus. But we don't get that picture all at once. We don't get it in one piece. We get to explore Scripture to put together a more complete picture. There are many listed in the following verses we know little or nothing about. Does that make them unimportant? Could that mean that they don't belong here? That Paul, in closing his letter, has strayed from his task, and these verses are fluff of no value? Well, I think Paul's second letter to Timothy tells us all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful. Then there must be value in these names. There must be value in the greeting they receive, the words used to describe them. So I'd like to take a look at a name on that list a little bit further down. If you would go down to verse 13. It's a short verse. I'd like it up on the screen here if we could get... There we go. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. So who is Rufus? I'll tell you that phrase, chosen in the Lord, draws my attention, and I want to know more about him. And I would like to take a look at Scripture and see if we can make some educated assumptions about who Rufus was, what he might have looked like even, why he gets special mention. Let's look at some clues, and I'll leave the final decision up to you. Clue number one is his name. Who can tell me why Esau was named Esau? Anybody remember Esau, what he looked like when he was born? He was furry and he was red. Esau means red-skinned. So does Rufus. So we can make an assumption here now. That doesn't mean that everybody that came out red got the name Esau or Rufus, but it might give us a clue as to what Rufus looked like physically. But how red could he be coming from Cyrene? Anybody know where Cyrene is? If we look here on this, here's Jerusalem, there's Israel right there. Cyrene was clear over here on the other side of Egypt in Libya. And somewhere right along that hump right there is where Cyrene was. And so what do we know about people that come from northern Africa? I would assume that they're probably darker skinned than I am. And maybe that a reddish hue to his skin color may be a completely legitimate explanation of what he may have looked like. But how would Paul have known him if he was from Cyrene? Acts chapter 2 tells us that there were Jews from Cyrene at Pentecost, but Paul wasn't there. He was still Saul the persecutor. We know that believers at Pentecost were scattered because of this persecution. But wait a minute. I'm hoping that some of you said, wait a minute, how did you go from Rufus to Cyrene? Well, this is where the smartphones come up. If you could, somebody pull out their smartphone and let's do a search for the name Rufus. Who's helping me out there? Anybody got a smartphone? Here, we got one over here. Where did we find him listed? For those of us that don't have the smartphone, let's go ahead and start turning over to Mark 15, if you would, please. As we come to the beginning of the chapter 15 of Mark, we see Jesus before Pilate. Then we see the release of Barabbas, the abuse that preceded the cross. Then we come to verse 21. And for those of you that don't have your Bibles, I have verse 21 I'd like to have up on the screen here. Chapter 15 of Mark, verse 21 tells us, then they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the follower of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by to bear his cross. Now, we don't see this very often, someone that's identified by their sons. Is this another clue? It may be that Simon was not well known, but that his sons, Alexander and Rufus, were important to the first century church. We know from Acts chapter 13 that the church at Antioch included believers from Cyrene, and the name Rufus is only found in these two passages, right? He only popped up twice when we searched for him. Mark 15 and Romans 16. The same guy? Well, I think so, and I'll tell you why. We have many examples in other passages when more than one person goes by a name. These various people are identified with descriptors. We know from Matthew 4:18 and other verses that Peter's name was Simon. When we see Jesus being anointed by Mary in Matthew 26, he is in the house of another Simon, Simon the leper. In addition to Peter, we see another Simon listed within the 12, Simon the Zealot. Also within the 12, James the son of Zebedee, James the son of Alphaeus. Is it fair to assume that when names are show up more than once without a descriptor, that that would be the same person? Sometimes, and in this case, I believe yes. Next clue, let's revisit this phrase. Next slide, please. We'll go back to the verse in Romans. Back to that phrase that caught my attention in the first place, chosen in the Lord. We know that Priscilla and Aquila were active preaching and teaching, and that they had a church meeting in their home at a time when believers in Christ were being put to death. Yet this phrase is not used to describe them. It comes up only once, only right here, this one time, and that makes him kind of special in my eyes. And I believe, more importantly, in the eyes of the Lord. Next clue, the second half of that greeting, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. It sounds like his mother was pretty special. The book of Acts contains many references to the importance of Christian hospitality. We see instances of apostles living in other people's homes, such as Peter staying at Simon's house in Acts 10, Paul, Silas, and Timothy staying at Lydia's house in Acts 16, Paul and John staying with Philip the evangelist in Caesarea in Acts 21. So what does this all mean? Why is it that I think we should be taking away from this portion of Scripture? In other words, so what? I believe that during this time of transition, now, this time of uncertainty, as we look forward to the search for a new shepherd, each of us gets another chance to consider our walk with the Lord. For those of us who haven't felt that we were called to be a Daniel or a Paul, what is it we're supposed to be doing? Even in the story of Daniel, there's only one Daniel. His three friends had other roles that resulted in their being placed in positions of authority. For those of us that think, I'm not ready to take on facilitating a Bible study. I'm not ready to walk out in boldness and declare the name's Lord in public. I'm not ready to use my less than professional skills on the music team. What are we to do? Well, I would like to consider Rufus. How would you feel to be described with the words, chosen in the Lord? And to see it associated with your mother because she cared for a missionary. Yet what is it that we don't see? I don't see a list of accomplishments. I don't see specifics. I don't see any mention of those kinds of things that we work so hard to accomplish. Could it be that God's more interested in our heart and our motivation than he is about the specific things we do? Jesus taught us that he was much more interested in our heart than whether we followed the letter of the law. God doesn't require us to do this on our own. In fact, his instruction is to rely upon him. He doesn't require us to be natural-born leaders or adept at the art of public speaking. In fact, it's often the lowly that he calls. He wants us to keep our eyes upon Jesus in everything we do, to live within his will, to rely on his strength, to have faith. God wants to use people like Rufus and his mother, like me and my mother, like you and yours. So as we go forward in his service, as we transition to a relationship with a new shepherd, as we look forward to the construction that we know needs to happen to this building that we meet in, as we send Scott and Robin out as emissaries of the faith, Let's keep something at the top of our list. Let's keep our focus on Jesus. And if we do that, the rest will come. Maybe not easy, maybe not smooth, but when God challenges us, he means it to grow our faith. He means it to grow our reliance on his strength. When he wrote our name in the book of life, I believe he did not include a list of accomplishments. But he just may have included a qualifier, like one after my own heart. Dearly loved, chosen in the Lord. And what does he ask of each and every one of us? It might be as simple as, can you dare to be a Rufus? Let us pray. Almighty Father, what a privilege it has been to open up your word, to look at a verse in Scripture that maybe we've glossed over before. Sometimes it's hard for us to stop and camp out on those names. Sometimes it's hard for us to realize that there is gold there that you would have us mine. We ask your help in opening our hearts that when we break open Scripture, we could set aside our presuppositions and those things that we think we know about your word and open our hearts to those gems that you would reveal to us anew, that you would help us keep the study of your word fresh in our heart each and every day. Because, Father, we know your word doesn't change. We know that it is eternal. We know that it is your love letter to us. But we also know that over a life of study, that we will see things that have always been there that we've never noticed, or that we've never been able to apply the way that we can apply them today in our current situation. As we come to this time of communion, as we approach your table, the table where we dedicate our time to remember the gift of your Son, we simply ask that you would open our hearts, show us what it is your will in our life. Help us to step out boldly, to expand our comfort zone, to rely on your strength. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This morning during Adult Ed, we discussed the topic of forgiveness, and it seems very appropriate to think about that as we prepare for communion. We need to prepare our hearts. We need to look for unforgiveness that we may be hanging on to and give that up. Stop holding on to any unforgiveness that you may have. Forgive others so that you may receive the forgiveness of God. 1 Corinthians 11:28. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. In other words, if you're holding on to something, unforgiveness, conflict that you can't resolve, it might be appropriate to take a pass. But I encourage those who can to let go of that unforgiveness, let go of that conflict, give it up to God, and let him fix it for you and receive his forgiveness. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Pray with me.
Let us consider the blood and the body of Christ given for our salvation and redemption. Let us consider the forgiveness that he has given us, not only that we may forgive others, but that we may live in abundance of his grace and peace. God be praised. Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo! You know, Scott once told me about what it was like to prepare sermons and of how we hear the message on Sunday and we don't realize that it's been beating Scott up for 6 days in a row and that he's been struggling. And it's, but as I prayed after I had taken communion, I was reminded of the words of an evangelist that you may have heard of by the name of Moody. He used to close every church service with, "Go home. Think about what you heard here today. Come back tomorrow ready to make a decision." But see, Dwight Moody preached at a time when one of those days when his congregation went home, there was a great fire in Chicago, and he lost a lot of his congregation. And that was the last time he closed a service with those words. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, please don't go out these doors without sitting down and exploring Scripture, and we'll walk through those verses that make it so clear that Jesus is the way, the only way. We are looking forward to another baptism service soon. We will be having a commissioning service the last Sunday of July. That will be the last day Scott and Robin will be with us. And we will be sending them out and sending them with our prayers and our financial support, with full expectations that God will bless their mission in West Africa and that they will come back occasionally and give us updates. And it's already been made very clear to me that the door is always open on that end of the trip, that they would love to have us go see them. And having been in Africa once, I am really anxious for the next trip to see those kids that are being touched by the gospel. So as we leave this building today, as we go out, and those that we encounter throughout the day, may they wonder a little bit at what might be different about us. May we walk the gospel. May we be prepared that when somebody asks us, that we can support our faith with the reason and the Bible study and the faith and the strength that we have in our Savior. I would like to close the service now with a prayer. So if you would you please pray with me? Almighty Father, what a wonderful opportunity for us to be in your house this morning. A chance to pray over this graduating class of 2015, that as they go out into society, Father, we know that those young years of adulthood are a time when our youth walk away from their faith. We know that this is a time when you hold them securely in your hands, and that your love for them never wavers. We ask that that love be felt so strongly by them that they cannot deny you. That when push comes to shove, like Daniel's friends, they can say, "You know what? The Lord is my protector, and even if he doesn't deliver us, he will carry us through." And that our love for you, that our reliance on you, and that our faith in you would be evident everywhere we go. We're not perfect. We know that. We can only do this if we do it in your strength. I pray that strength over this congregation today. And I pray it in the only strength that I have, the strength of the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Morning. We hope to see you all again next week. Have a great day. Congratulations, graduates. Woo!